Good morning. Today is Thursday, August the 20th. Joining us this morning, sort of, kind of, in a funny little black box, Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City School Superintendent. Good morning.
Good morning. I've never heard my office called a funny little black box.
Well, see, I'm good, but I'm not that good. What I'm looking at is a little black box.
Well, I'm enjoying the view with the sunshine out over Eureka High School right now.
Oh, that's why you're not here. You're just playing hooky. Period. End of story.
Yep.
Yeah.
That would work, though.
This has nothing to do with anything other than you're just playing hooky. Okay. I'll remember that one for next month. I won't be here, and you can be here.
You know what the problem is, Brian? I'm just dressed too nice today to be in your office.
Oh, that could be. You know, most places practice casual Friday. I'm practicing PT Thursday, so I'm kind of casual myself.
You know, I heard a clip on the news the other day that COVID-19 is going to be the death of business formal.
Yeah, I've heard that ties are they're wondering if ties are going to ever come back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, they will for me, but yep. I don't know. You know, being on the cover of GQ has never been one of my bucket list items, so I'm okay. Winston, why do we say that?
It is nice having casual Friday every day of the week. Stealing one's thunder. Who first accused someone else of stealing his thunder?
Well, let's see. Was that Thor? Was the god of...
It's not that far back.
Back to the Greek gods.
Yeah, I was thinking Greek gods also. Or some... Maybe the Delphi... The Oracle Delphi.
No.
Okay.
Like I said, you're a little too far back.
Well, yeah.
The playwright Dennis, about the year 1700... He said that he invented a sound effects machine which could produce the sound of thunder off stage and complained that his rivals had stolen his thunder. The idea of someone's stealing thunder so tickled the fancy of people that the phrase was adopted into the language.
Oh. It was the first garbage can.
I don't even think we get a 1% on that one.
No. No, the Delphi Oracle was way back, yeah. Oh, boy. So, we are seeing now vehicles at schools. Looks like teachers' kinds of vehicles instead of bicycle vehicles. What's going on this week at the various school sites?
Well, for Eureka City Schools, this is Professional Development Week. And normally we have professional development on Monday, Tuesday of this week, and yesterday was actually slated to be the first day of school. But this year, we took our professional development days out of the middle of the year and front-loaded them all at the beginning of the year. So the first day of school will be on Monday. And the reason for that is we're doing all our preparation work with our teachers to get them all prepared to provide the best distance education that we possibly can.
Yeah, you'd said that first day of school, which typically means school close. New school clothes, school trips to get that down to the shopping centers and whatnot, school supplies, all that kind of stuff, and classroom list postings and all that kind of cool thing. What's it mean this year?
Well, the classroom list postings are still there. We took our daughter back to school shopping, but I think a lot of folks aren't doing that because it's just not going to be the in-person learning this year that there has been in the past, at least for Eureka City Schools. There's lots of small school districts around the county that are doing in-person learning, such as Neyland, that are, not a lot of students that are there. And there's a couple little bigger districts that are doing it. Ferndale, they're going to do in-person learning. They're not real big, but they're a little bit bigger. I think the biggest district that is doing in-person learning is Fortuna High School. And from what I understand, I certainly can't speak for them, but from what I understand, their high school is about 800 students, and they've been consistently getting somewhere around 500 of those 800 students coming to school. And again, I'm not sure that number is 100% accurate, but that's what's been happening there. But as we turn towards Eureka City Schools here, our board has provided direction to go to a distance learning model. And what that means is that students will be learning from home. And that was a very difficult decision for the board. In fact, it was a split vote when that happened. And what it ultimately comes down to at the end of the day is a judgment call. And it's trying to balance the need of student and staff safety with the need that we all know that in-person learning is so much better than the distance learning.
What was the staff's feeling, Fred?
You know what? Just like our country, just like our board, just like our parents, and just like our staff, it's divided. You have a group of people who really think the students should come back and do in-person learning, and you have a group of people who think we should be on distance learning and sheltering in place and doing everything that we can to provide the social distancing to stop the spread of COVID.
Would it have been too complicated to have a dual model, you know, elementary school is probably the easiest one. If there weren't, you know, maybe if half the classroom, let's say for third graders, as an example, were there, okay, then that provides you some of that separation and that safety concern element, but they still could be on site. And if you felt that you wanted to do the virtual, okay, then you do it virtually and just have, you know, a couple of cameras set up in the classroom and the kids at home watch what's going on and participate that way.
That was actually the proposal that I had made to the board as far as going in that direction, and we were prepared to do that model. And we, from the conversations we've been having with parents and so forth out there, we are figuring about one-third of our parents are going to choose to do complete distance learning if we did that model, and about two-thirds of the parents are going to choose to send their kids to school. So we were prepared to do that, and then we were going to work with our teachers who had pre-existing conditions, and those folks would do the distance learning, and then the other folks would be in school teaching, and that's still possible. Our board is meeting on September 15th again to reevaluate what we're going to do for the rest of the year and what our learning model will look like. And that hybrid model about what you're talking about right there is certainly a possibility of what could happen out in the future.
Well, that's now, probably what killed your idea then, the fact that I also had the same one.
If you were to ask me to predict what's going to happen this year, though, I'm going to be really candid. I think we're in distance learning for the rest of the year. And this
fair,
is why I think
fair enough. We got a break, and we'll take it from there. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from the Eureka City School Superintendent Office that has a killer view this morning of sunshine.
Oh. You know, we've been getting a lot of sun this month.
Yeah.
It's always a special treat when you get it early.
Yeah, I know. Seeing the sunrise. Or you're talking not that early.
Yeah, well, I generally get to see the sun at my house because we're in just a hair. But when I get to Eureka, we usually don't do the sun until 10, 11 o'clock.
Yeah, with the fog, yeah. What is the thought here, Fred? Because I would have imagined that if the school board is one that believes in staff and believes in parental rights and responsibilities and influence, that they would be willing to make the opportunity available, unless there's some really extreme circumstances, to have parental decision. You know, if you feel comfortable having your kids come into the classroom setting and learn and take the normal precautions that everybody's talking about all the time. You know, the gloves and the cleaning and the face mask and the don't get close. And if you've got a cold, stay at home. All those types of things. And the staff is comfortable with that. Why not? I don't get it. Was there a compelling argument or something outside the normal educational delivery model that is influencing those that voted in opposition to this?
Well, I'm going to go there in just a second, but there's a couple things that I want to say first. And what I want to say is it's a very complex decision for the board to make. And I think it would be an overstatement to say that all the staff wanted it and that all the parents wanted it. I think just like our country is right now, there's a real divide in our community here as far as what parents think we should be doing face-to-face instruction and what parents think we should be doing distance instruction. I think there's a real divide in our staff along those same lines of distance versus in-person.
But if you're giving them choice, if you give them choice, then that's okay. It's the lack of choice, I think, that is kind of jumping out right now.
But I think there's also an argument that could be made that any in-person instruction could further complicate or promote, if you will, the spread of COVID. And so if you're a person who really doesn't believe that in-person instruction should happen, and you make that judgment call based on the safety of staff and students that you don't believe it should happen because you're very concerned about the spread, you get to make that decision as a board member for the entire student population, whether or not a parent believes that the student should be there or not. So that being said, moving to the next component that's a major player in the board's decision-making process is liability. And this is something for everybody to think about out there, because most of us have some sort of personal liability insurance, and most of us have it tied with our homeowner's insurance or potentially our renter's insurance. And that personal liability insurance is if you do something negligent that causes harm to somebody, or if somebody even accuses you of doing something negligent. And a school district has that same type of property and liability insurance. And within that insurance, if somebody sues the school district, we're insured. And so our property and liability insurance, we have what's called a JPA, Joint Powers Authority up here. It's called North Coast Schools JPA, and then it has an underwriter of a bigger group, and then there's even a bigger group beyond that that provides that insurance. But there's a really interesting thing, and people should really think about this and look at their own policies, in that there's an exclusion in that policy for pandemics. And so now we're in the middle of a pandemic, COVID-19. Our workers are covered because that's covered under workers' compensation. However, our students and parents were not insured as a school district. And it's not unique to Eureka City Schools. This is across the state and across the country. In fact, it's been such a major concern that our state legislators presented a bill, AB 1384, which was basically a hold harmless of liability for COVID-19, and the federal government is working on something that's very similar. Unfortunately, AB 1384 has been stalled and never made it to hearing. So right now, school districts in California, as far as the pandemic goes, if they're operating in person, there's a real liability and insurance issue.
So where's DHHS on this?
I have no idea as far as where that goes.
So they didn't weigh in with a recommendation to the school board for their consideration?
Okay. So you're talking specifically Humboldt County Public Health, Dr. Frankovich,
yeah,
et cetera?
Yeah, the crew.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we go to Department of Public Health and Dr. Frankovich, I was actually very thankful. She agreed to come and be a part of the board meeting where the board was making this decision. And she participated in that, provided input to the board, was actually on with our board for about a half an hour answering questions, provided input. And one of the profound questions that was asked by our board president was, okay, Dr. Frankovich, if you were sitting here in my position as a board member, what would your decision be? And Dr. Frankovich basically said, that's a judgment call. You have a really difficult position that you're in, and you have to weigh the pros and cons. I believe, this is Dr. Frankovich speaking, I believe that it is possible to provide a safe environment in the school setting if you follow the guidelines that have been set forth. However, I cannot guarantee that. And so
sure.
You as a district have to make a judgment call on what you think is the best direction going forward. And that's
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka City Schools Superintendent Fred Van Fleck. Talk shop presented by Baywood, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, Redeck, and CDH Painting. Fred, looking at what you're seeing play out throughout the country on the four-year schools and the two-year schools, there was a big thing about UNC, University of North Carolina, yesterday. Not to be confused with University of Northern California. Not sure where that one is, but okay. that they're starting to see some cases showing up. Humboldt had, one or two people?
They have two students and a staff member.
But yeah.
From what I understand with the staff member was not working on site at the time. So
a 1+2. When you see those, are you feeling more confident because the percentage numbers are so low, or are you concerned because there's positive tests even if they don't translate into hospitalization?
Well, I think that the university is a whole different ballgame, and I'm just going to speak from my personal experience. I have two children who are college age. One of them attends Chico State. The other one will be attending UC Santa Barbara this fall. And my son, who attends Chico State, 10% of their classes are in person, 90% are distance. The 10% that are in person, they're more the upper division classes. He's a junior. He has one of his classes that will be in person this year. I actually question a little bit whether or not that will happen or not, but here's the interesting thing that's really different about the four-year level versus the schools. Our children are coming, and their commingling is happening, if we were in person, in a very controlled environment where we're wearing masks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All the personal protective equipment that we know about and that we can possibly provide. On the college level, it's very different. And he's my son, for example. He has three roommates. And so there's not going to be personal protective equipment happening in his apartment. There could be, I guess, but I just don't think that that's a reality. And so the college dorms and the college living situations, and we all know about the parties that happen at colleges, those situations are not something that we're dealing with so much at the elementary schools, because most of our, or any of our K-12 schools, because most of our families are going back to their family unit as opposed to a commingled group or having some of the parties that are happening and so forth. And so that's a variable that we don't have as much to worry about as the colleges do. So you go down to UC Santa Barbara, where my daughter is planning to attend, they're doing 97% of their classes distantly and only 3% of their classes in person. Their living area, which is Isla Vista, is the just off-campus living area. they've had a huge outbreak of COVID in that area. And in fact, the president of the university sent out a letter encouraging families not to have their children come down and live in Isla Vista because the outbreak is happening so much. And it goes straight back to that personal protective equipment and people convening in one area from all over the country coming into UC Santa Barbara. And it just is such an incredibly difficult mix of people to try to control the virus in. It's a problem that is just not even in the same wheelhouse as what we're working with.
Yeah, one of the I suspect, aspects when in the publics, if you've got that big opening with the liability, are there other huge gaps or unique situations that have been identified as part of the discovery of really looking at some of the various insurance contracts that you have? Are there other big gaps that are out there also?
You know what? It's really interesting. The list of exclusions in our liability insurance is very, very small. And so this is the second exclusion that's impacted Eureka City Schools on a big scale. The first exclusion for us was the culvert that goes underneath of Albee Stadium. First place we went was to our insurance and said, is this covered under insurance? Because our ag welding building down there, the foundation was eroded by the culvert because the culvert failed. The dirt from underneath the concrete slab in there washed out. That concrete slab is sitting up in the air about 12 inches, not designed, obviously, to be floating like that. And so we went to the insurance and said, the culvert failed, created the failure of this building. We had to condemn it because of the erosion of the foundation underneath there. Is this, we want to submit an insurance claim. And so we went through the process, and the exclusion for that was it wasn't a sudden failure that we could point specifically to this rainstorm caused this failure, which caused the building to be condemned. It was a failure over time. And so that culvert that's down there eroded over time, and since we couldn't pinpoint it to a specific event, it's not covered by insurance.
Oh, you should have said, like, 1974 March.
Actually, when that building failed, it was that really, really wet winter that we had. What was it, three, four years ago? I can't remember exactly right now. And we tied it to some of those very specific storms and said, we believe this is when the major failing happened. And this is when we had the biggest sinkholes in our fields. And, you know, the insurance company said, next try.
Yeah. It's 842.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Okay, you ready for rapid fire?
I'm ready.
30-second max on each one, okay?
Okay.
Status of football field?
Major T passed. It's in the planning stages right now. We are geared up for a planned start of football field, softball field, and baseball field to be completed 2 years from the election last March. So that would be March of 2021.
Okay. Ag building status.
Ag building is complete, ready for occupancy, other than we can't occupy it right now because we're in distance learning.
So it's all there. The teachers are going to be teaching out of there for the virtual stuff?
Yep.
Okay.
Beautiful facility.
Cool. How about the parking lots?
The parking lots in front of there have been all completely redone, so those are in fantastic shape. The Del Norte parking lot, which used to be a student parking lot, will be a staff parking lot now, and more students are parking in the Marshall parking lot. And so we still have plenty of parking. Remember, when we had 2,500 students on the campus, there was not a lot of this parking because they had portables all over the place, plus more students here. So we're still
we had the pit, though, baby. We had the pit. Jim.
Jim is, COVID is killing the Jim project because Division of State Architects has held up the project there. We're delay after delay after delay. We're anticipating a start right in the middle of this winter. And of course, that'll be weather dependent. So the plan is, as soon as we get all those out, to get the steel ordered and get that thing, all the pieces for it ordered. And my direction is continue push, because the more of that gym we can get built while we're on distance learning, the easier the construction is going to be. So it is happening. It just is delay after delay.
Jacobs.
The board just approved at our last regular board meeting the abatement of the entire campus. The abatement is the removal of asbestos and lead, the lead that's in the paint, the asbestos that's in tiles and insulation for the heating system and some of the roofing components. Once that abatement happens, which will be here, it'll probably be completed in the coming months, and then we move forward to the demolition stage. So it's actually going to get demolished. But the interesting thing is we've been in talks with CHP in the city of Eureka. CHP has been put on hold because of the budget of the state of California. And so we're not sure whether the CHP deal is going to work out or not.
That sucks.
Yep. But the good news is to the community over there, regardless, the buildings are coming down and we have the first process of that approved. And so they're going to see work happening out there in the coming weeks.
And you've got a new lawnmower for Jimmy and the troops to be able to keep that thing mowed down so it doesn't look like a forest?
Oh, we'll have to keep it mowed. That actually will, it'll be much easier to keep it mowed once all the buildings are abated and out of there.
Well, sure, you don't need a weed whacker.
Because it's just open. Yeah. You just go for it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, it sounds like stuff is going on positive and even with the challenges that are out there. Thanks for almost coming by.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All righty, bud. See everybody tomorrow.